Chrysler is about to be more of an Italian automaker than an American one.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Economists are focused this morning on the Labor Department in Washington, where we're about to find out how many jobs were created last month and what the new unemployment rate is. But over at the White House, they're celebrating something else. The Italian automaker Fiat will buy the rest of the government's stake in Chrysler for about $500 million. Let's get the latest now from Marketplace's Gregory Warner, who's with us live. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, first, Gregory, what will this new Italian ownership mean for Chrysler?
Well, Fiats are famously small and cute, and Chryslers like to make their cars big.
Right.
But Fiat seems to have stepped into the merger knowing that Chrysler especially can be very suspicious about Europeans telling them how to make cars. If you remember, Daimler-Benz of Germany and Chrysler tried a merger, it collapsed in a sea of mistrust. So Fiat stepped into this sharing operations even before the company had a majority stake. I called Ian Henry. He's an industry expert in London.
They had to show that they had done certain things to show the two companies were getting closer and closer together, whether that was putting Fiat engines into Chrysler vehicles.
They're even producing Chryslers in Italy, so maybe we'll see more SUVs on the small streets of Rome.
And the news today is that the government's going to get another $560 million, but will actually lose money on its bailout of Chrysler in the end, right?
That's right, to the tune of about $1.3 billion. But this does end the government's stake in Chrysler, and the government will say that the bailout of the auto industry was a success because it saved 115,000 jobs and kept factories running through the recession.
Marketplace's Gregory Warner, thanks.
Thank you.
Groupon is going public. The social coupon site hopes to raise $750 million later this year. Now, Groupon has 7,000 employees, and it's issued more than 70 million coupons. But Marketplace's Steve Henn reports some analysts still aren't convinced.
Groupon's just 30 months old, an adorable 2.5. But last quarter, this precocious tot hauled in more than $600 million in revenue. Groupon's growing so fast, Google tried to buy it last December, reportedly for $6 billion.
I don't get it. This is coupons. What's the big deal?
Van Baker is a retail marketing analyst at Gartner. He says Groupon's business is ridiculously easy to copy.
There's literally about 300 Groupon knockoffs in the market right now.
And as firms like Google and Amazon launch their own daily deals, Groupon's revenue seems sure to get squeezed. But that hasn't hurt investor interest. In January, the company raised close to $1 billion, but its executives didn't invest the money in the business. Instead, Groupon's founders and early investors walked off with more than $800 million in cash, according to yesterday's SEC filing. So Baker says he isn't exactly rushing to get this deal.
I think I'll wait for the 50% off deal on the Groupon stock.
In Silicon Valley, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed across the globe this morning as we await the May jobs report from the Labor Department. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow fell 41 points to close at 12,248.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering its Raise Your Rate CD as well as online savings account and money market account. Learn more at allybank.com. And by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. Marketplace Entrepreneurship Reporting is supported by Farmers Insurance. Trained local agents committed to small business success. More at 1-866-200-4BIZ.
Today, NFL owners and players will head to federal court to argue for and against football's player lockout. The fight is causing anxiety for fans across the country. But in St. Louis, Rams fans are more concerned about losing their team. There's a clause in the Rams stadium lease that allows the team to skip town unless the city foots the bill for major upgrades. Adam Allington has the story now from St. Louis Public Radio.
The Edward Jones Dome was built in 1995, a year after the Rams moved to St. Louis. Back then, it was a next-generation sports venue, a downtown stadium with adjacent convention center for year-round use. Last year, Sports Illustrated ranked the Dome as the worst stadium in the NFL. Fans like Andrew Wilson complain about downtown congestion and lack of parking for tailgating.
Seeing a game at the Dome is like going over to your grandparents' house, you know? It's like very bland. I have more fun watching it at home than I do going to the game.
Statements like that are the reason the Dome's main tenant, the St. Louis Rams, is weighing its options. The Rams' lease with the city requires the Dome rank among the top tier of NFL stadiums by 2015. And with the cost of new stadiums running close to $1 billion, many fans wonder if football is on its way out in St. Louis. Bob O'Loughlin is chairman of the St. Louis Convention and Visitors Commission, which manages the Dome.
There's a lot you could do to the current stadium for a lot less than $1 billion. But I can assure you that all of our conversations will be held in confidence until we have a deal struck.
But Rams owner, sports mogul Stan Kroenke, could demand millions of dollars in publicly funded upgrades, everything from high-tech scoreboards to a retractable roof. All this at a time when Missouri State Senator Jim Lemke says the city and state can least afford it.
I really think that in our current climate, it's going to be very difficult to get that across the finish line.
The city will start negotiating with the Rams early next year. Patrick Riche is a sports economist at Webster University. He says talks in St. Louis could depend on what happens in Los Angeles, where developers are pitching their own football stadium.
If that happens, then teams like the St. Louis Rams, like the Jacksonville Jaguars, like the San Diego Chargers, those teams could be fair game to relocate.
If L.A. does build a stadium, the Rams would be a likely frontrunner to move in. After all, the team lived in L.A. for nearly 50 years, from 1946 to 1994. In St. Louis, I'm Adam Allington for Marketplace.
And finally, here in Los Angeles, customs agents announced yesterday that they've seized almost 2,000 counterfeit karaoke machines. The machines say they're made by SanDisk, but SanDisk says it doesn't make karaoke machines. Well, a customs spokesman says the knockoff machines will be destroyed. So sadly, they'll never be able to live up to their full potential and play knockoff versions of Neil Diamond songs. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Can you imagine a future where the interest payment alone on our national debt is $300 billion? Albert Brooks can.
The future is not going to be all good or all bad. Even in a disaster, there's good that comes out of it. And even in a beautiful wedding, three people are sick throwing up in the hall.
I'm Tess Viglin. He's got a whole lot more of that. 2030, the novel. Next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.